was no true child. Howler returned to the corridor. He drifted along ahead of Singh and the girl, scouting. Those two insisted on a lamp, which troubled Howler deeply. He muttered and fussed the whole time they were doing their sneak. By a tortuous route that avoided Long Shadow, the garrison, and the enclave still held by lady soldiers, Howler led them to an unguarded piece of wall overlooking Kialune. Fires were burning down there. I was down there with Taide, cold and disappointed with myself for having been dumb enough to insist on the eyewitness view. I didn't tag along in real time. I skipped forward, compressing events. Howler's destination was a small carpet concealed atop a domeless tower, otherwise not in use. It was a new carpet, smaller than those we'd seen before, black as the night around us. More evidence that you can't know everything that's happening unless you want to spend every minute watching. I had not seen Howler working on this carpet. With no words exchanged, the three lifted it, walked to the edge of the parapet, lockstepped right off into space. They clambered aboard as they fell. Narayan moaned softly, eyes closed. The Daughter of Night wasn't impressed. Howler took control in time not to smear them all over the rocks and wreckage below. He began sliding gently along just a few feet above the ground, trying to keep solid objects between himself and Overlook. I took a quick look at Long Shadow. The Shadow Master was restless. He'd left his studies to stare vaguely toward Kialune. He sensed that something was happening, but could not determine what. Howler was playing around behind his ally's back. I almost lost the little shit. I had to go back to the moment I left him to pick him up again. Soon afterward, he drifted past a band of Mogaba's guerrillas in the ruins. The guerrillas didn't see him, but sensed him and panicked, thinking one of the Shadow Master's pets was on the prowl. The racket they made drew the attention of nearby Taglians. The soldiers saw something shadowy drifting through the darkness. They wasted no time getting off a volley of fireballs. Howler changed tactics. He put on a burst of speed and employed a spell of concealment, neither of which he wanted to do that near Overlook. I would have lost him then, had not chance favored me. A wild fireball clipped the corner of the invisible carpet, which began to smolder. The spell of concealment did not include the glow as long as I stayed close. Howler hauled ass, but he did stay so low that brush scraped the underside of his carpet. At one point, he plowed through some tents and clotheslines in one of the proper Indra Dra's division camps. He was less concerned about being noticed by our side than by his own. The race brought on a mild sense of exhilaration. I didn't notice it immediately. Then it hit me that I was feeling more emotion than usual. Eventually I realized what I was feeling was some feeble spillover from smoke. Sometime during the flight we passed close enough to Uncle Doge and Mother Goda to be noticed, but I saw no sign of them. We also swept over my own headquarters, close enough to startle the sentries and horses. I wasn't entirely surprised when Howler headed for a certain snow-choked canyon. Smoke didn't notice until we were close enough to watch Howler land in front of a waiting soulcatcher amidst an explosion of terrified crows. In my amusement at the birds, I relaxed just a little bit, and Smoke rebelled. She is the